This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
This is Golf Talk Canada, part of our Year in Review special series as we break down the year that was in 2017. Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, Adam Scully. So much to get to in the year of 2017. Underrated performances of the year, overrated performances of the year, the oh my God moment, predictions for 2018. So much to chew on. We've talked Tiger over the year in review specials. We've talked disappointments and Canadian golf stories, etc. But LPGA had what I'm going to say, with the exception of Brooke Henderson, for me, as the constant and the consistent, maybe, especially in the latter half of the LPGA season. The LPGA, for me, was more about question marks and just bizarre activity and behavior and head-scratching material more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Adam Scully, we'll go to you. We'll start with you. For the LPGA, what is your story of the year?
Well, there was a great moment. I guess it would have been sometime in August. Stacey Lewis said that she was going to donate all of her winnings at the Cambia Portland Classic to the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. She hadn't won in over 3 years, so, you know, to come out and say this, it was a very kind gesture of her. And what does she do? She goes out and wins. It was one of the most must-see, not even golf moments, just sort of sporting moments.
A humanizing moment,
yes. where people, you know, everyone is, it was a time of need. And it was a time of trouble around, you know, with what was going on with the hurricanes. But for her to do that, it was just simply remarkable for it to happen. And for her sponsor, KPMG, to match the $195,000 that she won was pretty remarkable. And for Marathon Oil as well, they also donated $1 million.
It's pretty amazing. It's a great story. You know what I like, too, Scully, is that I got to tell you, for LPGA story of the year, unlike when we talked about the Canadian golf theme of the year, the Canadian golf story of the year, we could have put 10 stories on the board. 9 of them would have been positive. 1 of them would have been negative.
Yep.
With the LPGA story of the year, I almost feel like it could have been the opposite. Mm-hmm. And you went with the one story that I think that, with the exception of Brooke having another good year, but just LPGA story of the year. Most of them for me are negative. You took the highlight reel, the good story.
Glass half full.
And it was a great story. It was a great human story. The timing was perfect. Yeah. Very movie script, Hollywood material.
Exactly.
Incredible. Great story. Bob, LPGA story of the year.
Well, on our previous show, we talked about Brooke Henderson in Ottawa, so I'm not going to use that one. There were two stories to me that stuck out. One was a person, one was a tournament. And one, the person one was Lydia Ko, and what a sort of an off year she had. I mean, first time she did not win a tournament. She had a couple of runner-up finishes, but really other than that, you know, was just sort of out of the mix and never really seemed to be the dominant player she's been over the last 3 or 4 years of her career. Of course, new clubs, of course, new teacher, new caddy, I mean, all sorts of different things. It's a little bit like the Rory McIlroy story, but there was just no consistency to her game. And if you look at her results, they weren't terrible by most people's standards, but by what we've come to expect from Lydia Ko, not to get a win, to me, that was a bit shocking. The tournament story to me, again, this is another one, like we were talking on the previous show about the Lexi Thompson incident. A major championship got shortened to 54 holes. The Evian Championship, mm-hmm. just because they had some bad weather, they said, oh, well, we're going to shorten it. You don't shorten major championships. No. And I know there's 5 of them on that tour, but still, these have to hold importance. You cannot simply just say, oh, we're going to wipe a round out and go with 54 holes. That's not what happens with major championships.
Absolutely ridiculous. And it's not the first time that, well, it's like a list of about 10 rules-related story themes that you could cover in the LPGA Tour this year that were just drop balls, right, Bob?
They just
completely drop the ball like they've never run a tournament before.
And I'm sure there are extenuating circumstances. Maybe the players all had flights home or, I don't know, maybe there was something going on with this tournament in France, but man, that just, to me, there were some of the decisions they took this year, that one included, were just head scratchers, as you suggest.
Absolutely bizarre. I will say this, for me, you hit it right off the top. For me, Lydia Ko. Lydia Ko, for me, could have fit a few categories on these year in review specials. Disappointment of the year, she could have fit into. There's just, you know, surprise of the year, so to speak. For me, we're talking about a woman who has been as dominant as you can see an athlete. At a very young age, she started winning when she was like 14, 15 years old.
She won the Canadian Open.
Right. This is a woman that won four times on the LPGA Tour in 2016, along with a victory on the European LPGA Tour. So five wins in the previous calendar year, and really didn't sniff a victory this year, certainly didn't sniff an important victory this year. You went through all the changes, etc. To me, she is the LPGA story of the year. It is the equivalent, I'll put it to you this way, Lydia Kuo, 4 or 5 years into her dominance on the LPGA Tour. If I had gone back to the year 2002, 2001, and told you that Tiger Woods was going to go winless in the year of 2001 and 2002 on the PGA Tour, you would have said that is the shock of the year. Well, that's what just happened, guys.
Yeah.
Lydia Ko just went winless on the LPGA Tour. It is mind-boggling. It is jaw-dropping. Now, I want to go around the horn with you guys on this one because there's somebody, in my opinion, that kind of almost, to a lesser degree, fits the same role, and that gentleman is Rory McIlroy. He was obviously never been Tiger. He's obviously never seen the dominance of Lydia Ko. But this is one of the top players in the world for a very long period of time, a number one player in the world, a player that needs only one Masters to go on Mount Rushmore, okay? And he is without victory, and he is tumbling on a spiral, hopefully showing some signs on the European Tour recently, but not enough for me to go, oh, things are good. Who needs the win more first to salvage the upcoming season, to get off on the right track? Lydia Ko, does she need the W first in 2018? Or Rory, who is in danger of spiraling further without that victory, Bob?
Man, that's a good question. I'm going to go I'm going to go with Lydia Ko. Yeah, thanks. I'm going to go with Lydia Ko because I think it's more of a shock to me that she didn't win yet. And Rory, you know, Rory has been a dominant player during his career, but the last couple of years he has not been so much the dominant guy. He's won.
Also
he's well.
Proven streaks for
right.
Rory, right? He's
yeah.
really good or he's really bad. Where Lydia's just always been really good.
Lydia to me is just like driving off the edge of a cliff. Like it's all of a sudden boom. And so I think she needs to get that win just to kind of satisfy her her mind that she's not completely going crazy or something. I don't think she thinks that way, but that's what it looks like from the outside. And I think if I was to say which one is more likely to win sooner, I would say Rory is, I think, actually.
Yeah, I think you think he's closer to the path than she is, but she's
so.
The one that needs it more.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, same thing to you. Who needs this more and why, and who's closer to the path?
Well, I think Rory needs, I guess, a win and a win of significance. When he won the 2014 PGA Championship, it's crazy to think that that was his last major win. It was now three plus years ago. And if you would have said after he won that PGA Championship, hey, Rory McIlroy.
By eight.
But that Rory McIlroy wouldn't go winless, or he would go winless, you know, until the 2018 season, potentially in the major championship season.
No one would have bet that.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of, there's obviously an immense amount of pressure on Rory. But once everything sort of settles down maybe in his life, now that he's going to have a full year under his belt with the gear. He's hopefully, who knows whose caddy's going to be, if he's going to have a buddy, if he's going to have someone of prominence on the bag, who knows. But I think he's someone who definitely needs a win.
He needs it more than Lydia.
I would think so.
Who gets it first, though?
I'll still go the Rory path, but it will be close for sure.
I will use the word streak to justify my picks on this. I will suggest to you that I'm more shocked at Lydia, and she needs it more. And I'll say she needs it more than Rory because of the word streak. Rory has proven that he goes through downward spirals that are horrible streaks in the wrong direction, and he also rides streaks in the good direction. Lydia Ko has never been on a streak in her life. She's just been awesome, okay? It is day in and day out, right? And they've both been through all the changes with the equipment, the personnel, et cetera, et cetera. And I think Rory is more of an artist than he is a technician, a tactician, et cetera. And when you're dealing with art, it's unpredictable and sometimes doesn't make sense. And I think he will find the streak at some point again that will make no sense, and he will ride that wave. And it won't mean that he fixed his short game. It just means he's on a streak, and it means that streak will also come to an eventual end, and we'll be right back where we are right now. There will just be a good streak in between. I think with a person like Lydia, as Bob's suggesting, I mean, that's a cliff. And once you have fallen off that cliff, and we have seen this in the LPGA in the past, you sometimes never come back from that darkness. Like, we have seen players get to number one in the world before. Siri Pak, who's the lady I'm forgetting out of Lake Nona, who was number one in the world and was so dominant. No, I'm it'll come to me.
Yanni Tsang?
Yanni Tsang. Thank you. Yeah. From the Where Are They Now? Yanni Tsang was going to be, we ordained Yanni Tsang the next Annika Sornstam.
She actually bought Annika's house.
In Lake Nona, off the 16th, right. Off the 16th hole. Okay? She was the next Annika. Where is Yanni Tsang, guys? So yeah. We have seen it in the LPGA Tour, and I don't want to say this, but Lydia Ko is maybe 12 months away from the next Yanni Tsang. And if that's the case, you don't come back from that. So I hope I am wrong. All right. Lots to get to on today's show. And still, my next one, this is fun because we just threw this out there. The OMG moment of the year. This could go many ways. This could be my 46 putts in the first round of the Toronto Hunt Club Championship. Okay? The OMG moment of the year. What was the oh my God moment of the year? This is the Year in Review special right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
This is Golf Talk Canada Year in Review, a special part of our series over the winter here in the off-season, like there is one, where we will break down the year that was, the stories of the year, moments of the year, etc. And this is a bit of a fun one. This is the, because you could take this anywhere you want to go and how it affects you personally, although you probably have this moment in common with some people, doesn't necessarily mean it affected everyone the same way. The OMG moment of the year, the oh my God moment of the year for 2017 is what, Mr. Weeks?
I'm going to take you behind the scenes to Augusta National because I thought of this one or the Masters. So Wednesday of Masters Week, there is a horrendous storm. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
In fact, the people whose house we were renting told us, said, just in case the storm gets really bad, the safe place you're going to go is downstairs in this one room, because there were tornado warnings, yes. And there were some tornadoes that landed not far from where we were. Anyway, we're all back at the house because play has been wiped out, and we're all sitting around. We filed all our stuff for SportsCenter. We're all maybe cracking a beer here and getting ready to figure out what we're going to do for dinner. And the storm kind of then just passes a little bit, and all of a sudden the news breaks. Dustin Johnson has slipped and fallen down the stairs. He's injured his back. SportsCenter calls. We have to do something. You'll remember this, Mark. We were all running around.
All of our gear
is at the golf course. The golf course is closed. They will not let anybody on the property, including media. You cannot get into the property, so we have no gear. And this is kind of a cardinal rule. We should always probably take one camera home. So we got out on the back deck with an iPhone with a microphone cord that was made, I think, for like selfies and YouTube videos. And we did a report into SportsCenter on Dustin Johnson's back and the fact that he looked like he was not going to make it to play, and this is the number one player, number one pick in the Masters, and it was just sort of like, oh my God, what are we going to do here with this?
I totally remember the panic like it was yesterday, yeah. But I totally forgot about this. But as soon as you mentioned the storm, I know exactly where he's going. Just sprite me, unbelievable. And Dean and Mark, if you're listening, we should always bring a camera.
Our cameraman, Dean.
That was an oh my God moment.
We did get it done
because when that news broke. When it first came out, I my initial reaction was, ha, funny, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a joke at first. And then, oh my God, this is real. The guy who's won three tournaments in a row is out. He did it by falling down a wet staircase. Oh my God, all the equipment's at Augusta. Oh my God, we can't get in Augusta. Oh my God, we got to shoot something. Like, there was 9 oh my god moments in a row for the oh my god moment of the year. That was unbelievable. And man, that feels so long ago,
doesn't it?
And that was in the calendar year of 2017. All right, Skulls, the oh my god moment of 2017.
Well, I have a couple. I'm going to start off with the President's Cup. And this was Friday night. And it was Bob, you and I were standing on one of the fairways with our cameraman, Mark. And you were doing a hit for TSN.ca. And you said, if the states sweep the Saturday sessions, they could clinch the Ryder Cup. And I think, that's not going to happen. Like, that's not really going to happen. Of course, Saturday morning, the U.S. sweeps. Saturday afternoon, they're up pretty big and 3 of the 4 matches. I'm thinking, oh my God, is this really going to happen? And then, of course, Anirban Lahiri goes in beast mode and sinks some clutch putts down the stretch. So the oh my God moment that nearly happened didn't quite happen. But that was a pretty unique moment.
Well, just the fact that you came to the realization.
It was like, oh my God.
That this could actually happen. This is not just fantasy league stuff.
But a big oh my God moment as well was Jordan Spieth holing out from the bunker at Travelers to win that golf tournament in the playoff. That was a pretty crazy moment to think that, you know, under pressure with all that happening, you get the Michael Greller rake throw in the air. That was a pretty cool moment. And one as well before I wrap up, the Justin Thomas birdie of the PGA hanging on the lip for 10-plus seconds. That was very cool, too.
You know, funny that you bring up the PGA, too, and something I didn't consider. Do you remember Jason Day? Vaulting himself into that golf tournament on the weekend
then
trying to finish off.
What are you doing?
On the 18th hole. What was that, a 10 or a 9? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Into the portalettes.
But I remember into the portalettes, into the water, into the trees. I'm like, that is an oh my God finish. Yeah. Like, oh my God, what is he doing?
Exactly.
Jason Day moment of the year. Okay, for me, you hit it on Jordan Spieth, but I'm going to take a different Jordan Spieth OMG for the water cooler the next morning. There wasn't a single golf fan on the planet immediately following the final round of the British Open that was saying, oh my God, did you see the finish of the Open Championship? And for me, it was OMG for multiple reasons. Let's start on the 13th. Let's start for the first 12 holes, okay? It's sloppy. Here we go again. Oh my God, he may potentially lose another lead in a Masters. This was the Golden Child. Remember, that's the nickname, the Golden Child. Nothing goes wrong for him. He was bulletproof. And then we saw the collapse on the Sunday at Augusta, right? And here we might go again. So there's an oh my God there. Then we get to 13, and he loses it 80 yards right. And for a year and a half, 2 years, I've been screaming that, you know, sooner or later, he has not addressed losing the ball right when he's under pressure, and it's going to bite him. Well, sure enough, it bit him on 13 at the Open Championship. Then the other oh my God moment, as Bob likes to outline, and I agree with him more often than not on this, that the biggest challenge facing the game of golf from a participation standpoint in the world is slow play, the amount of time dedicated to participate in the sport we love. And we have to watch a 25-minute circus sideshow of where Jordan Spieth's going to take his relief as Matt Kuchar rots on the sideline, and 25 minutes later, the putt drops on 13. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. How could that take so long? Now, I always like to go back and say Jordan did apologize. He did take the gentleman route and apologize to Matt Kuchar. It doesn't erase the 25 minutes. And then the final oh, my God of this moment is, I saw Jordan Spieth do something that I've never seen Tiger Woods do in a million years. And this is a compliment to Jordan and also a compliment to Tiger at the same time. Jordan went from his D game, hitting the ball like a 14 handicap, a complete chop. It was hard to watch. It sounded like garbage. It looked like garbage. It was unraveling mentally like garbage. And on the next tee, he almost jars it and flips a switch to his A-plus game, where he proceeds on the final few holes to basically run over Matt Kuchar and dominate. I've never seen anybody flip a switch like that. I never seen Tiger do that. Now, there's a compliment to Tiger. Tiger's never hit it as bad as that. He never had to go from D to A. You know, why Tiger was Tiger, I'm talking. I'm not talking the last couple of years where, you know, he, I have a chance in a $5 Nassau against him, right? I'm talking real Tiger. Never had to do that. I've never seen that. It shows to the mental strength and emotional character of Jordan Spieth. And the reason why Unlike every other best player in the world, Jordan Spieth can still win with his C game, and nobody else can. And the only person that could ever do that before was Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And for me, that stretch of the Open Championship was my oh my God moment of 2017.
There was also another sort of funny oh my God moment. Friday at the PGA Championship, getting dark, Rod Pampling. He almost Happy Gilmore's it and just gets the ball in play so they can finish the hole because they're all about 100 shots over the cut. But the funniest thing was they had the Pro Tracer on the
shot.
It just duck hooked left. It was one of the funnier moments. And even better watching DJ was playing with Jason Day and Jason Day might not be the fastest player of all time. And DJ wanted to get in because didn't want to get up early. And so all you see is DJ finish up on 17 and start sprinting to the 18th just so we can get that ball off.
Yeah. Yes.
And then when Day and DJ, I believe
they're running down the hole,
they're walking up 18 and Day's giving DJ a big hug. That was
good moment.
Cool. That was pretty cool.
All right. Oh my God. Moments of the year. What we got coming up next? We got some overrated performance of the year. What was, you know, hyped up or what was still talked about that we're now looking back and going, eh. What was that all about? That was all sizzle and no steak. We'll do it next. This is our year in review special right here on GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, our year in review specials as we kick through the topics, storylines, headlines of 2017. Looking back, Weeksy, Scully, Zucchino, the year that was 2017. And for me, I'll kick off this category, guys. What's the most overrated story, performance, player of the year? And I'm going to go to Erin Hills as a golf course because, you know, heading into Erin Hills, there was so much chatter, and mainly because of the drop ball by Mike Davis the previous year at Chambers Bay, right? With the rotating pars, the putting greens that were barely puttable, the slanted tee decks. It was a bit of a sideshow and a circus that came to town when it came to Chambers Bay. And I'm not a traditionalist by any means. I like old-fashioned golf courses. I love modern courses as well. But I don't need the Davis sideshow as part of my U.S. Open. In fact, I don't even want to know who the person's name is that sets up my major championship. It's called a tournament committee. But yet at the U.S. Open, we get a different story. Then Erin Hills rolls around, a golf course none of us have really ever seen before. There was a USM there, which a couple players in the field saw a few years earlier, but we really didn't know what to expect. And there was all this chatter, you know, is this a risk for the USGA? Then there was all this talk that plus eight's going to win. This thing is one of the longest courses in U.S. Open history. This. Then we get to the tournament and Rory McIlroy is saying you've got 60 yards from A to B, and if you can't hit it, you should go home. And guess who missed the cut? Yeah. Rory McIlroy. And you know what? The tournament kind of came and it kind of went. We saw 63 on a Saturday that I kind of went, eh. I saw huge fairways. I saw no wind. And I went, you know what? I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. Could have been better. Mediocre at best. A lot of talk for nothing. I know they'll end up going back there because of the location. They want to have the U.S. Open move around to certain places. Fiscal commitments, etc. But you know what? I'm not looking forward to the next time.
I think the course could be end up being a lot better if it had not been soft, if there had been wind like there normally is there. But you can't guarantee those things, so why take the chance? I mean, they've already brought in the fairways at Shinnecock for next year, so you know that they don't want to have the second coming of Erin Hills next year.
Bob, did you have the same feeling before I get to you for your overrated?
Yeah, it was just kind of meh. It was flat, you know, and even seeing Justin Thomas hit the 700-yard par 5 and 2 and didn't really have any. It was just flat, just a flat finish.
I agree. All right, Bob, overrated story, player, performance of the year, something that we hyped, that we looked forward to, or we talked to death, or right, and it's gone.
Well, I'm going to be Johnny Miller's best friend because I'm going to say that Brandon Grace's 62 was among the most overrated rounds. And take nothing away from Brandon Grace because it was a good round. It was a solid round. It's the lowest round ever shot in a major championship, obviously. It was an 8-under round. It was played in perfect conditions, no wind, on a golf course that was soft. And strangely enough for the R&A, they set up the golf course like as if they were expecting hurricane winds or something. I mean, it was as gettable as anything I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And his score, you know, in relation to the rest of the field, wasn't that huge of a gap. So I don't want to take anything away from shooting 62 because you still got to hit your golf ball. But to me, it wasn't the 62 that I would have thought would have sort of become the record in a major championship. And the other one was, in a different kind of way, was the President's Cup. In terms of the scrambling and the stuff that went on after about how are we going to fix this, what are we going to do, how are we going to change that, mm-hmm. that story to me was just overrated because this was an American team that would have walked over anybody, I think, that we've seen in recent years, European, international, or even other American teams. I mean, they were just so dominant that this thing would have been over early in any year, in any way, shape, or form. So the fact that we're talking about having to change the President's Cup and alter things, let's go back 2 years and look what happened in Korea. I think that's a better representation.
Mm-hmm. I think the world better get used to this U.S. team running people over. I think the Europe better get used to this, get ready for Paris in 2018, because I think this U.S. team with these kids, the way they're clicking away, and even their veterans are in early 30s. Dustin Johnson's far from old. I think look out. And if you look at the top of the European food chain, it's getting a little older. I'm not saying there's not better. There's still some good young players.
They got a
there.
Little assist recently when Paul Casey decided to retake out his European
helps.
Membership.
That helps for him. Sure. But I tell you, man, look out for this Team USA. Now, Bob, I got your first one there with Brandon Grace. Couldn't agree more. When you think of all the players that came close in the last few years of knocking on the door of 62s and how epic that could have been, the one that I go to all the time is the Saturday of Phil Mickelson at the
Without
Open Championship the year before. I still don't know how that ball's not in the hole. That was a perfect putt. As Jack Nicklaus would say, I made it. It just didn't go in.
You're right.
Right? So, and all of these, it came close in the PGA Championship. We saw it. And then for that one, this kind of flat backdoor kind of 62.
Yeah, kind of, it was early
and
in the
I
day.
And I hate to side with Johnny Miller.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even in the hunt really before that. But anyway.
All right, Scully, the overrated performance player story of the year, something that you just went, maybe you were juiced for it personally, and then we went, huh?
Well, I was sort of, mine goes back actually to the Players' Championship. And going into that drivable 12th hole, it was exciting. You can drive the hole, but really that hole, I mean, you couldn't really, the layup was hard. You miss it anywhere left, you're in the water. It was a very strange green. And that tournament overall, Siwoo Kim and Ian Poulter fighting down the stretch. Whoop-dee-doo. Like, it didn't have the pump and pizzazz that, you know, many players' championships have in the past. We did see at Ian Poulter shank on the 18th hole, which was quite riveting and exciting.
But grooved his hosels right after that.
but for Siwoo Kim, he's someone that after he won that, he was pumping all these drivers off the deck. I was pumped to watch him. And what did he do after that? Miscut, withdraw, T13 at Erin Hills. Not bad.
If you were going to military duty, you might be a little deflated after that too, Scully.
And then after the T13, miscut, T50, withdraw, 43, 40, 58. And then the President's Cup, he was... So it was sort of... Those two tie together for me. I was really excited about seeing that drivable 12th at the Players' Championship, and it really didn't do much for me.
You know what? I am so happy, Scully, that you brought this up and selected this story as your overrated story of the year, because I was wondering if the Players' Championship was going to come up over our year in review specials, because for me, it's one of the biggest disappointments of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Players' Championship. And I think the Players' Championship, to a certain degree, has a lot of Augusta in it, in the sense that every year the golf fan is familiar with the course. The course is part of the show. It's a star. I think it's the greatest three finishing holes in championship golf. The golf's greatest stadium, mm-hmm. golf's greatest field, the changes to add more theatrics with the drivable par fours you outlined. We put all of this into a bowl, and we got nothing. We got a poor leaderboard. We got Siwoo Kim. We got Ian Poulter, who, by the way, with a chance to win and a sand wedge in his hand from 105 yards on Sunday on the 16th hole, hit it 60 feet left of the right hole location. One of the worst shots I've seen all year when it mattered was Ian Poulter sand wedge heading into that par 5 16th hole. And I'm glad you went with that, Scully, because to me, that was so looking forward to that. It's one of the first times this in a long time that I hadn't actually physically been at the Players. You were at the Players this year, Bob. Mm-hmm. Normally, I'm always at the Players.
Yeah.
And I was just shocked at how stale that broadcast was and that golf tournament was on the weekend.
Just flat. Just kind of flat. I mean, take nothing away from Siwoo Kim, but yeah, it just didn't seem to be any real buzz to the tournament.
Mm-hmm. And does it go back, Scully, to golf is like every other sport? And I say this all the time, that sports are driven by stars.
Oh,
okay,
for sure.
If you've got LeBron James against Steph Curry in the NBA final, okay, that is going to excite a lot of people that don't traditionally watch basketball. So I'm going to watch that. I watch maybe 3 basketball games a year. They're all Raptor games because I'm a homer basketball fan, okay? But if you give me, you know, Chicago Bulls against, Dallas.
Who cares?
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that. I couldn't care less. I'm not a basketball fan. So golf is driven by its stars. And the fact that most of us think that the Masters off the top of our head is the best tournament of the year, mm-hmm. it's not a coincidence that it was Justin Rose versus Sergio Garcia in a playoff. Is that part of this year?
It's the same thing, you know, going in an earlier show where you're talking about the, you know, the Northern Trust with DJ against Jordan Spieth. Like, it was epic duels. You know, look in the past, Tiger against Phil. This is obviously driven by stars and guys who, you know, the top players in the world going toe-to-toe. And just looking forward here, imagine if Tiger can get back on top of his game and you have a Tiger against, you know, Jordan Spieth down the stretch or a Tiger against Justin Thomas. Imagine what the ratings would be for that.
Yeah, you have, you know, it's the biggest stage. That's the thing, too, that you want the big players. Now, we've always had some oddball finishers like Craig Perks winning and, you know, even to a certain extent, Stephen Ames was a surprise, even though we loved it because he beat all those guys. But, you know, Jason Day and Tiger and Adam Scott. I mean, you look at the winners of the Players Championship. You just think that this should be driving bigger names and bigger performances.
You know, it's so interesting, Bob, that you mentioned that because it is such a brilliant golf course.
Yeah.
It is, especially for a piece of swamp. It's a brilliant golf course, and it really is a full examination of every aspect of the game. Bombers don't win. Short game guys don't win. It's everything. Yet for such a great golf course, a spectacular field, Bob hit it on the head, the types of winners we've had every other year, every couple of years, a name pops up there and you go, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And it's something very unique to the stadium course at Sawgrass. All right, on the other side, we're going to flip the coin on this. We're going to talk the other side of this fence. The underrated story performance of the year. What should we have been talking about more most of the year and we weren't? And we now looking back are going, wow. This is our year in review special.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC Year in Review, Zucchino Weeks. Scully, as we break down the year that was, we just talked overrated story of the year, things that we hyped up and they came and they went and we were like very disappointed or very underwhelmed, I should say, in regards to the performances, the stories, etc. But there's also the other side of that coin. The underrated. And Scully, we'll start with you. What jumped out at you this year that we look back and we go, man, we weren't talking about that enough, or we didn't give it enough credit or enough hype or enough attention. And man, were we wrong. That was underrated and we should be giving it more attention.
Well, I think what was really underrated this year was the year that Mark Leishman had on the PGA Tour. He had a great year. Starting at Bay Hill with that victory, he was remarkably consistent all year. 16 top 25s. That's pretty darn good. 6th in the FedEx Cup rankings. sort of fizzled out in the President's Cup per se. He didn't really have the mojo, but quite frankly, none of the team did. He had a victory in the playoffs. But one of the funnier moments of the year, I must say, when he went on to win in the playoffs, he had a chip, and he almost drilled one of the camera guys right where it
yes.
hurts. Yes. And thank God he didn't. But a great year for Mark Leishman, and he's one of the better ball strikers on tour. And plus, he capped it off a couple weeks ago, losing in a playoff to Justin Thomas in Korea.
So. You know, it's funny you bring that up. I called that one for PGA Tour Radio when that eagle dropped at the par 5 16th. Yes. I lost my
I remember
mind
that well.
When that
yeah.
thing
how about,
went.
How about Mark Leishman making that putt in the President's Cup, and then he go out and celebrate it with the Canadian guys dressed as Canadian
so
unitards,
that
right?
That was the funniest thing.
That was awesome.
Interesting, you know, that when you say that, if you talk to a lot of PGA Tour players, they will tell you that he's probably the most underrated guy
out there. Two wins this year, and I got to tell you, at Arnold Palmer, he was really emotional. He was very emotional to win that, not just to get the win, but to get it, you know, at Arnie's place, the first Arnold Palmer Invitational since Arnie's passing. Mm-hmm. It was important to a lot of players that they were there. There was an energy and a weight to that tournament this year that normally isn't there because of what transpired in the winter previous, and boy, did that propel him to a super year. He made that big putt at the international for the international team of the President's Cup, Bob. But I like most of the players on that team, I was expecting more from Leishman that week at Liberty
National.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people were.
However, I think he just got in the wave of negativity. How could anybody break out of that dark cloud as one person with those 12 guys going down the toilet all at once?
But that's right.
I'm with you, Scully. I think his season is very underrated and something that maybe we should have talked about a lot more. Bob, underrated.
I got two guys
of the year.
One young, one old.
All right.
My young guy, Austin Connolly.
Oh,
what a player this kid has turned out to be. And with limited status on the European Tour, basically was a full-time Challenge Tour player, which is their version of the Web Tour. Parlayed his play on the big tour into a full-time card next year on the European Tour. And I know the ties to Canada are a little bit tenuous, but he's embraced it. His play at the Open Championship this year was spectacular, especially when you see this kid up close. He's got to be 130.
Maybe
130. He makes Mark Sacchino look like the Hulk.
Yes, he does.
He really does.
He does.
So if he stood beside me, like, are we, oh my. Like
he looked like he should be on your knee with your hand in his back doing a ventriloquist
that's
act.
Right. Tiny guy. But this guy, can this guy ever hit his woods and his long irons? Like, he is going in. It kind of reminds me of the old Marlene Street story when she was playing in the U.S. Women's Open against Joanne Carner. And, you know, Joanne Carner told me that she would outdrive her by over 100 yards, and they'd get up on the green, and Marlene would be 4 feet, and she'd be 30 feet. So this kid can really, really play. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in the future.
It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes of the year, and I'm going to screw this up, so I'm going to need you to fix
okay.
it, because I think he said it to you, Bob, about the rough. And
had
he never hits it in the rough, I wouldn't know.
Right.
Something
that's
like
right.
he sits it so
just
straight.
Being sure to help you in the weather conditions, and he says, I don't know, I've never been any taller. So, and then my other underrated guy who does not get enough credit for how well he plays is Bernie Langer. Bernard Langer.
Yeah. Well, maybe because he's cheating.
I mean, that could be
part of it.
That could be.
I don't know, just throwing it out there.
But I mean, you know, he's on the verge of another president or another Charles Schwab Cup. He's won 4 of the last 7. I mean, this guy just keeps continuing to win, and even the guys he plays against just can't figure out how this guy at 60 years old is able to beat the field.
I think you hit the nail on the head right now. The most impressive thing about Bernard Langer of who he's beat in the last 5 years is Father Time. This man is beating Father Time. He's the most dominant player on that tour, hands down, at age 60. When it's supposed to be an ATM machine for the 50, 51, 52-year-old, he's still doing it at 60. And I think when we look back, he will be the greatest Champions Tour player of all time. Hale Irwin may have a better record at the end. That's still to be debated. But the fact that that tour now and the strength of that tour compared to the strength when Hale Irwin was doing his damage... That tour is so strong now, and the level of play on that tour is so strong. The fact that Langer's doing it at 60, I think he'll go down as the man on that tour. I really do. I'm going to shock you guys on my underrated performer of the year, and it also is a little bit to do with myself because I was handing out hardware to this guy so much earlier than everybody else. I've been mentioning this. It took too long for me for the golf community to embrace Justin Thomas as the player of the year, mm-hmm. as the guy this year. We're still talking about it previously in our year in review specials, how it was a streaky year. You break the year up in chunks and we look at this segment, that segment, this segment. This guy won five times with the major. There's a handful of players this century that have won five times or more in a season. Yet Justin Thomas, no credit. I'll say the same thing to my colleagues on the PGA Tour radio team. Smart guys, great guys, working at Eastlake with them. They're still going through scenarios at Eastlake where Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson can be the player of the year, in their opinion. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, the player of the year is decided because no one else can have five wins in a major. That guy standing over there, and his name is Justin Thomas, and the hardware and the respect should have been handed out a month ago, 6 weeks ago, whatever the number was. I had it out early, and I think the fact that he's won already in 17, 18 is making a lot of those people go, hold on a second here. This is now 12 months, and he's won more than anybody, anywhere. And this is for real. We're not talking about a guy 34 who found his stride in a career year. This is a 24-year-old. We better get used to Justin Thomas. There is zero flaws in this guy's game, in my opinion.
Absolutely agreed. And he's the other thing, great young guy, great kid. He's just so nice to talk to, very relaxed, very laid back, a lot of fun. So he's a guy you can cheer for. You really feel good about him.
And he's a great guy for this next wave of golf. You know, a young guy who's a short little guy and absolutely bombs the ball. And he's a great guy for, you know, kids around the world to look up to because he's so humble. Like a great moment was in his FedEx Cup press conference when his grandfather called him.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Grandpa, I'm in a press conference.
To call you back.
It was just a great moment.
I will say this. I love the opposites, the clashes. You know, like you need Luke Skywalker and you need Darth Vader to make an epic final sword fight, right? Now, I'm not suggesting that either one of these guys is a good guy or a bad guy, but I like the opposites. And I like the potential of watching for the next decade Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, a guy who gets it done with ball striking that looks like a technician and a mechanic with his golf swing who is just, you know, tee to green, so good. And another guy who's pouring in 50-footers on you and just gutting you out, like giving you an American version of Seve Ballesteros and just punching you in the gut. That dichotomy for the next 10 years with those two friends is going to make for great theater and great television. And the one thing I like, the tournament he's won recently in Korea, this time around, I don't know if you saw the playoff, but he did. You know, he had that tournament, that one hand on the trophy there coming down the stretch. He had 249 into a cold wind to an island green par 5. Could have won that tournament with a layup. He hit 3-wood on the deck and went for eagle to close the deal. That tells me what how his mind works and the gut check. This guy's out there to win it. Anyway, guys, lots of underrated performances, but I think we hit on a few really good ones right there. Lots coming up from Golf Talk Canada still over the off-season year in review specials as we break down the year that was, all the themes, all the stories. We don't go anywhere 52 weeks a year. Trust me, Adam, Bob, and I are absolutely exhausted. We're going to still talk about year in review specials. We'll say goodbye to our national audience. And remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
This is Golf Talk Canada Year in Review Special. Mark Zucchino, Bob Weeks, Adam Scully, as we break down the year that was 2017, but we've kind of done that over the last few shows of the year in review specials of you know, what was in 2017. And my favorite part, guys, about the year in review specials that we do annually on Golf Talk Canada is what is coming up in 2018. What do we anticipate? What do we see? Predictions for the year. And we will get to all our predictions, but let's start with the majors of 2018. Bob, we'll start with you. The venues are great. They're spectacular. There's really not a lot of question marks here, especially in the first three. Who will win the majors in 2018 and why?
Well, I'll start off with the Masters. That's a good place to start, right?
I suggest we do this chronologically.
All right. Why don't we do that chronologically? I'm going to say that the guy who is going to win the Masters this year is the guy who probably should have won it last year if he hadn't fallen down a flight of stairs. I'm going to say that Dustin Johnson will come back. I think towards the end of the 2017 calendar year, he was starting to show that form again, where he was. And I think, you know, with the exception of one final round where he messed up, but I think he's starting to get himself into a groove. And I think the fact that his putter is still pretty solid, I think, is going to be the key to him. Tee to green, you know, he's pretty good.
Hard to bet against Dustin or not have him as a favorite on a golf course that demands you take advantage of par fives.
Exactly. So I think he's long enough. So I think he's going to be hungry too when he gets back there, having missed and been so hot going in last year. So I think he's the guy for me.
Do you think Dustin Johnson's looking back at 2017 as a disappointment with the three wins but no major?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I think he is. I think he's looking back at it as a missed opportunity. And I think, you know, he had his second child, so that obviously threw some stuff into the mix as well. Off the golf course, probably took his attention away. But I think overall, especially going into Augusta, you know, you could hear it in some of his comments later on talking about, man, what might have happened, what might have been. You know, you never know, but...
U.S. Open is at Shinnecock Hills, one of my second favorite U.S. Open venue, only behind Pebble Beach. I absolutely adore Shinnecock Hills. Who will win the U.S. Open?
Shinnecock, I'm gonna throw you guys for a little bit of a loop. Uh-oh. Shinnecock, to me, is going to be demand a guy who's straight off the tee and a guy who can putt, because you know how fast U.S. Open
they
greens
lost
are.
The greens the last time
That's
at
right.
Shinnecock.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to suggest that Adam Hadwin we'll get
nice.
It done at the U.S. Open.
Well done, Bob. Well
I think
done.
He's got a perfect game, and if he plays at that U.S. Open like he did at the first part of the 2017 calendar year when he was out in the Florida or in the West Coast swing, I think that he has got a perfect game for a U.S. Open-style golf course as long as he can control his wedge shots. And that's the only caveat. But I like his chance. I think if he's going to win a major, I think that's the one he's going
to
win.
And I would expect Shinnecock to be severe. But the USGA on top of not losing it like the last time. All right, Bob, then we go to Carnoustie for the Open Championship, which is by far, hands down, the most difficult finish in championship golf. I don't care what course you Wingfoot, the Massacre, yada, yada, yada. Day in and day out, without any setup, without any tweaking from the RNA, you could go to Carnoustie 365 days a year, play the last five holes at Carnoustie, and I dare you to find a harder finish in the world of golf. Who will win at Carnoustie?
I think it's going to be a newcomer again. The first two guys, well, no, DJ's won before, but obviously Adam Hadwin hasn't won. But I think John Rahm is going to win that one. Mm. I like John Rahm in Europe. He impressed me a little bit last year with just some of the shots he had in terms of Open Championship, in terms of Lynx golf. I think that he's coming into his own now in terms of being able to handle his emotions, which will be a key if he gets down the stretch and he's in the hunt. And as long as the weather cooperates for him and it's not too severe and he doesn't get any bad breaks, which might throw him off a little bit, you know that happens at the Open Championship. But I like the fact that he is sort of a power player, and this course will demand some power in the early going. And I think down the stretch he's got enough touch, like he showed at Torrey Pines with that eagle putt last year to get it done.
And finally, the PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club in St. Louis. Not a bad golf course, so I don't want to take shots at Belle Reve, but certainly for my season of 2018, the weak sister of this year's majors, when you're going against, obviously, Augusta annually, but then Shinnecock and Carnoustie. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if Pebble Beach is the St. Andrews of the U.S. Open, then Shinnecock would be the Carnoustie of the Open. And the fact that we get him in the same year, I think, is brilliant. Who wins the PGA Championship?
Well, I think the fact that nobody knows this golf course coming in.
Certainly.
You know, we haven't seen anything, as you suggest.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to someone who's got who's a good thinker around a golf course. I'm going to give it to Jordan Spieth. I think he's going to get this one done.
Wow. There's a theme. And complete the career Grand Slam. And there's a theme going on here that we're going to go to you and then to me, Scully. but I just like to just highlight the brilliance of Bob Weeks. Okay? That's why I say he's a brilliant man. I am honored to do this show with him week in and week out. Adam Scully, your winner at Augusta National for the first major of 2018 is?
Well, I'm just going to first tease that Bob and I have the same pick for one of the majors this year.
Oh,
so
wow.
Maybe you're also brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go too far. Too many pucks to the head.
All right.
Well, I will say my Masters winner, his worst finish at Augusta is a T11.
Right.
I think Jordan Spieth's going to get it done.
Jordan Spieth, whose career at Augusta National is ridiculous.
It's crazy. Yeah.
He has beaten the crap out of this field year in and year out since his debut as a rookie.
Yeah.
And you could do my Phil Mickelson bet. Every year for about 10 years in a row, I would go to Vegas. I would go to the sports book at Caesars Palace, and I would bet a futures bet. It was always in November. I would put $100 American on Phil Mickelson to win the Masters. Well, over that 10-year period, he won four of them at 10-1, 12-1, 13-1. Over a decade, I was up huge. If you do the same thing on Jordan Spieth, you're going to be up. Not as much, because the numbers are going to be 5-2, 3-1, 6-1, 8-1. You're never going to get 12-1 on Jordan there. But if you do that over a decade, you're 100% right. You will not lose with Jordan Spieth.
Well, and the fact that he T11 last year with a 9 on 15 in round one.
I agree.
Pretty good. To the U.S. Open, another guy who had a close call last year. You need to be steady Eddie at the U.S. Open, Mr. Matt Kuchar.
Yeah, finally. Is he the best player in the world without a major right now? He's certainly on the short list, right?
Him or Rick Fowler, you got to.
Kuchar, I like Kuchar as a good, solid pick at the U.S. Open. And again, type of golf course that Bob's referring to with Adam, that style of game, the plotter in the fairway, underneath the hole, hole high, control, control, control. Boy, that sounds like Kuchar, doesn't it?
The Open Championship, where Bob and I agree, Mr. John Rahm.
Ah.
I like him to win there. He showed a lot of pizzazz and flair in the Irish Open at Port Stewart.
Yep. Yes.
Can play in any sort of condition. He's a streaky putter as well if he gets that flat stick rolling.
Right.
But the big thing that Bob touched upon is his attitude. Is he going to be throwing clubs? Is he going to be throwing golf balls on the golf course?
I think he has come around now.
Yeah.
To the awareness of it. So is he going to have outbursts? Yes.
We need those still. He needs them.
He needs them. That's his personality.
Yeah, he's savvy. Yep.
But the fact that he's aware of it now will be the stepping stone of what he needs to do.
He can use it as a positive.
Yes.
And the PGA, this Mr. Brooks Koepka, I believe, is going to win
his second. Wow. So Brooks Koepka, you have winning majors in back-to-back seasons.
Back-to-back seasons.
He is that talented for you. And a lot of people would agree with you.
And he was only one of a number of guys who made the cut in all four majors this year. He had the lowest score to par combined. Mm-hmm. Who was second? Hideki Matsuyama, actually, in all four majors.
Right. Let's recap those again.
Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
Matt Kuchar.
Yes.
John Rahm.
Yes.
And Brooks Koepka.
Very well done.
Now, let's turn that crystal ball back over to you.
Crystal ball back to me. I'm going to go with the Masters in Augusta with someone who probably should have a green jacket by now and would have won one probably over the last half a dozen years, but surprisingly hasn't, as won recently on the PGA Tour. I'm going to think Justin Rose finally dons the green jacket.
Yep.
If there's a player with almost as good a record as Jordan Spieth over the last few years at Augusta, but doesn't have the win, it's Justin Rose. Of course, losing last year, or 2017, I should say, in a playoff to Sergio, and he has just played so well there. And I find it interesting that he has done so well there, because a guy who fights his putter, you would think he is a U.S. Open champion. That is his major. That makes sense to me, that would be the venue where it's more ball striking than it is a putting contest. Mm-hmm. Yet at Augusta, he's been brilliant without the win. In 18, Justin Rose gets the green jacket.
Beautiful.
At Shinnecock, I'm going to go with the ball-striking machine of Justin Thomas. I think Justin Thomas will remain the hottest player in the planet. I think he will have the biggest spring on the PGA Tour. I think he'll be disappointed that he doesn't win at Augusta. I think Justin Thomas, will be grabbing his second major championship at Shinnecock Hills in just a ball-striking performance where he hits more greens than anyone else in the field, and that's how he gets it done. So we've got Justin Rose at Augusta and Justin Thomas at the U.S. Open.
So we have Justin Leonard as the Open.
Yes, and then my Open Championship. This is where I would like to suggest that both of you gentlemen are completely brilliant, and I understand now why I enjoy working with you so much.
Are you going to make it three in a row?
Because John Rahm.
Clean sweep.
John Rahm will avenge Sergio Garcia's bitter loss to Padraig Harrington the last time the Open Championship was at Carnoustie. Carnoustie is a ball striker's paradise when it comes to British Opens. John Rahm is a great ball striker. He's proven he can play in bad weather. He highlighted what happened in Ireland. He can hit the ball through the window like most Spaniards can. He can flight driver as good as he can flight pitching wedge. He gets it done at the Open Championship. And when the three of us just look like gold, boys.
I like it.
And why Bob is the smartest man in Canadian golf is because the career Grand Slam will be completed at the PGA Championship for one reason and one reason only. Nobody wills it in the hole better than Jordan Spieth. And after Jordan Spieth has to watch the three majors of the year go to somebody else and have his second kick at the can at the career Grand Slam in a row, because he just missed it the first time here after his British Open win going to Charlotte and Justin Thomas getting it. He will be angry, he will be irritated, and I don't want to play against Jordan Spieth when he's angry and irritated, because he will will that thing in the front door, and I don't care what game he brings to into St. Louis, Jordan Spieth goes on Mount Rushmore at the end of the year.
Boy, people are going to... Accuses of collusion.
I don't. So I'll go. I also have a theme. All my winners start with the letter J. Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, and Jordan Spieth. All right, predictions are fun, and that's our major winners for the year. But more predictions coming up next. There's still lots to come in terms of what to expect in 2018. We'll tell you next. More predictions in our year in review special right here on GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome to Golf Talk Canada, our year in review special, as we keep pointing the finger now towards 2018. We've given predictions of who will win majors in 2018, and amazingly, so many common threads at so many tournaments. It's going to be interesting to see. We're either going to look all like geniuses, or we're all going to look very dumb when it comes to our 2018 major predictions. But predictions in general as we head into 2018. I'm going to avoid Tiger, and I'm also going to avoid Rory, because for the last 3 years, I've been wrong on both. I keep predicting Tiger's going to retire, and I keep predicting Rory's going to win at Augusta. So I've bailed on Rory. I'm removing myself from the Tiger situation. And I'll go with this. Phil Mickelson is going to win in 2018. He is probably going to win early. It will more than likely come on the West Coast, but I will be shocked if Mickelson does not get off the snide and grab a W in 2018. And I guarantee you this, he will be in Paris, he will be playing, and he will qualify. He has been a captain's pick on the President's Cup team before, as recent as this year. But Phil has never in his career had to rely on a captain's pick to play on a Ryder Cup team. And you won't have to do it in 2018 either. He will qualify for the red, white, and blue. To contradict something that Mr. Weeks suggested in one of our previous year in reviews, Bubba Watson will remain winless in 2018. I understand Bob's point of view. Don't get me wrong. Tremendous talent. There are lots of change, head-scratching material with diet change and weight loss and things of that nature. The golf ball, I thought, was a huge change for him that really screwed him up, especially for one of the rare players on the planet that still likes to shape his golf ball, that doesn't play aim and shoot. I just think psychologically and emotionally, he is so lost in the wilderness. He has gone to the upside down world for all you Stranger Things fans out there. I don't think he's coming back from the upside down world, and Bubba Watson will remain winless in 2018. And finally, my last prediction for 2018 is that Brooke Henderson will win her second career major in 2018. I think last year I predicted she would win two times. I didn't want to put too much pressure on her after her breakout year. I know it sounds funny, but I said she will.
You just didn't want to put pressure on her, though. I like that.
No. Like,
go easy
like,
on her.
You know me. Yeah. I know she's listening, Brooke. I know you're listening. But she had such a huge breakout year the year before.
Yep.
And I didn't want to give huge expectations. It's a tough tour to win on, but I really thought she would win twice. I think in 2018, she's probably going to win three times, and one of them is going to be a major. But I will go on the record as saying she will win her second major in 2018.
There you go.
Bob, predictions.
All right. Well, we have some that are very similar and some that are not.
The beauty of this thing.
I also predicted that Brooke Henderson would win a major. I'll just leave it at that. I think she's got a good enough game. I still think she's got to figure out how to play in Lynx golf, but so I don't think it'll be one over there. It'll probably be U.S. Open or KPMG PGA Championship. So I'll leave it at that. I think we'll get two more Canadians winning on the PGA Tour.
New Canadians or could be crossover?
Just any two. Any two Canadians. We'll have two victories that will go to Canadians on the PGA Tour. I think that Phil Mickelson will not win.
Oh!
Just stab you right in the heart, right?
All right, that's a bet. Dinner.
Roasted.
Okay.
Dinner.
Yeah.
This time next year.
Cheesecake Factory.
This time, yeah. Oh, well, if we're in your Cheesecake Factory. If not, dinner in Toronto this time next year, because we have to let the year play out.
That's right. No, I'm thinking, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that he's actually going to get close again like he did this year, but he's just not going to be able to get over the hump. I think there's two more that I'll give you, three more I'll give you. I think Tiger will win.
Wow.
I think Tiger will come back.
Oh, my God. All right. That's two dinners now. Wow. I'll say he doesn't. That's two winners.
I think he will. I think there will be a major rules snafu that will decide a significant tournament this year.
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
On the level of Roberto DiVincenzo.
Oh, boy.
Something like that. Where some guy's going to be thinking that he's won and not won. Or some girl.
Wow.
And finally, just to throw more fuel right on the fire.
Uh-oh.
The European Tour is going to win the Ryder Cup.
Wow, I disagree there as well. All right, so Bob and I got no win for Tiger. He's got win Tiger. I got win for Phil. He's got no win for Phil. I got U.S. waxes Europe. You got Europe over U.S.
There we go.
There's three dinners. All right, three dinners right there. Skulls, off to you, buddy. You have the floor for the final predictions towards 2018.
Lots to live up to here. I think Brooke is going to get one win next year.
Ooh.
Just one.
Will it be a major?
No, but I think it's going to be in Canada.
Oh,
that would be good.
That's bold. I like it. She got two cracks at it, right?
I am full of bold predictions, so here's another one. I think that Tiger is going to finish in the top 10 at the Masters.
Okay.
I can see that.
I think he's going to finish inside the top 50 in the FedEx Cup.
Wow.
Having said that, in his career, he's held a 36-hole lead 33 times and has won 29 of them. I think he's going to have a 36-hole lead twice this year and not win either of them.
Wow. Okay, so very similar to what we saw in 2013 in majors. Not in regular PGA Tour events where he won five times. But how often in 2013 in majors was he in the hunt heading into the weekend, near the lead or at the top of the leaderboard, and went backwards? So you're going to say we're going to see a version of that on the regular schedule this year.
On the regular schedule, a top 10 at the Masters. Speaking of Masters, past Masters champions, I think Phil Mickelson is going to win. And I'm going to go as far as saying if he plays the Waste Management Phoenix Open, he's going to win that.
So you like him on the West Coast like I do?
I like him on the West Coast.
Okay,
as
so
well.
And no win from Tiger?
No win from Tiger, but some close calls.
And who wins the Ryder Cup?
The Ryder Cup is going to be won by the United States of America.
So Adam Scully and Mark Zucchino are very close on side. So it's Scully Zucchino against Weeks.
Feeling a little lonely here.
Yeah,
One player on Canadian soil I have a really good feeling about this year is Mr. Nick Taylor.
Yeah.
At RBC?
I think he's just going to get another win in general.
In general.
And I think he's going to make the Tour Championship.
That'd be great. Yeah. Such a great guy. All of our Canadians are good guys, but I'd love to see Nick because he got that win, and we haven't seen that that rally from that victory. And like Bob suggested in one of our earlier shows, that maybe there was a little let off of the gas and maybe rejigging of expectations. I would love that for Nick Taylor.
He's had a great start so far in the wraparound season this season. So.
Well, we've had a great season here on Golf Talk Canada for television and for radio. So I'd like to thank both you two gentlemen, Mr. Weeks, Mr. Scully. Tremendous year. I have so much fun doing it with this guy. You guys. You guys are the absolute best. And we can't say this out loud, but we will. It doesn't feel like work. Don't tell Jeff McDonald that this doesn't feel like work. I'd like to thank Jeff McDonald. I'd like to thank everyone at the TSN Radio Network, everyone behind the glass that lets us do Golf Talk Canada. I'd like to thank our friends on the TV side, Jamie Rydell, that also helps us with television, all the people behind that glass. Of course, all of our sponsors make it happen. So Acura, TaylorMade, Adidas, WeatherTech, Motocaddy Stewart Golf, Muskoka Bay, PEI, Cedar Bray Golf Club. Is there anyone I'm forgetting? I don't believe so. I think that's all of them. Our sponsors make it happen. We can't wait to come back for season 8 of radio, kicking off in early February of 2018. I don't know where the time went. And season 4 of television, I believe, will be kicked off in March. We don't have the exact date yet, but let's call it March of 2018. And let's not forget our Christmas special, where we unveil the top 18 holes in Canada. Yes. And we will unveil that for television, and we'll also do it around radio as well. So if you want to participate on our top 18 in Canada, all you have to do is hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at golf.canada with your favorite par 3, par 4, par 5. We'll put that information, we'll collect the data and put it along our expert panel and unveil the top 18. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, sir.
All
Thank
the
you,
best
Adam.
To both Thank you Bob. Guys. Great year. And remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet. Thank you so much for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.